Welcome back on into the sports bar for After Hours. I'm Vinny Aceto, alongside my partner, Will Bjarnar, and we are back.
What is up? We're back after, how long of a hiatus was that, a week?
That was about
a week.
I
know you did the Q&A.
Yeah, I came on solo I gave it a shot.
How'd it go?
It was definitely harder than what I expected.
I listened to about 10 minutes of it. You were doing fine.
I appreciate that, but I don't know. It was just something I wanted to try. I didn't really know much about how this would work out.
Sure.
I went live on Facebook and Instagram at the same time.
I gotta give you props. There, just to do it in the first place, a Q&A live and just recording live for everyone to see. Because, I mean, the luxury of having Audition, which is the program that we use, is if we do screw up, we can make a tweak in the end. We don't often do it.
No.
And I think we may have done it once, but I don't even know about that. We're pretty good at just recording and then, all right, let's edit and post.
Right.
When it's live, though, anyone can see any mistake. So I give you a hell of a lot of props for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got it.
It was just, I don't know, I wasn't really sure how many people were going to tune in.
Sure.
So I was up in the air as far as how fast people were going to be asking questions, if questions were going to be asked at all. Next thing you know, I think I had 51 viewers on Instagram and then another 37 on Facebook.
So
then you got people within the comments having their own side conversations and you're just looking for a question to answer. But I don't know, it was a cool experience, something different.
I'm happy for you. I wish I could have been a part of it.
I was thinking though, like, this is something we might want to incorporate.
We should.
Maybe go live. We put a camera or something up in the studio as we're talking and people can listen live.
I'm in.
We'll give it a shot.
I definitely want to do that.
We'll give it a shot.
All right.
There's a tease for all our viewers out there.
You don't know when it's coming.
It's coming. But yeah, you don't know when, but it is coming.
But it's coming.
You were in Chicago, though.
I was.
While we were gone.
I was. So I had a decent reason.
Caught a Cubs game.
I did.
The hell of a Cubs game of the week.
Cubs game. It was one of the, it was the best live baseball game I've ever been to.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean,
how does that stadium compare to other MLB stadiums that you've been to?
It doesn't, and in a positive way. So, I mean, I've been to Fenway, and I have to put Fenway, you know, in baseball lore when it comes to stadiums just because of, you know, it's so iconic. But Wrigley is older, and Wrigley is, it's got its own kind of set of iconic little things. Like, in Boston, you got the Pesky's Pole. You got the Monster, obviously. You got, you know, just kind of the aura that Fenway Park brings, but Wrigley, man.
The ivy,
and just the look of it, looking out over the city, that is a beautiful baseball stadium. It is a beautiful park. I'd never been to a stadium like it. It's, and just kind of like, the other thing that I had attached to it, and we were talking about this earlier when I was kind of telling you guys about my vacation upstairs, the fans are insane. It's like a playoff game in the middle of July. I went to the Thursday game, which was a 1 o'clock, or I think it was a 1:20 start, if we want to be specific. They're playing the Diamondbacks, so it's a decent series.
Yeah, it's a pretty good.
It's a pretty good matchup with two competitive teams, but it's a Thursday at 1:20. It was packed solid. There was not an open seat in that place. There may have been, but you couldn't tell if you were to look from the outside looking in.
Love to hear that.
So it was. The game was awesome. At one point, the Diamondbacks had hit a grand slam, gone up 6-1, and it was not looking good. It was looking like, all right, if we need to and we want to beat the traffic, we can probably head out. It looked like that's what was coming. But then Cubs...
It was meant to be.
Cubs had some magic, came back, and Anthony Rizzo with
Rizzo walk-off home run.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And it was back-to-back. Brandon Doty hit a two-run homer to tie it in the bottom of the ninth, and then Rizzo comes up and
picture perfect.
It was awesome.
And the Cubs in general, I mean, just to get into a little MLB talk
right
now here, best team in the NL right now.
I know.
After what was, you could argue, a pretty shaky start to the season for them.
They didn't come out the way people, I think, expected them to.
Anticipated, no, not at all.
I think a lot of people thought that this, I mean, they didn't have a bad year by any accounts.
No.
Last year, they were fine. They made the playoffs, they competed, but they ran into the Dodgers.
And
they ran into the Dodgers, who were on a collision course for the World Series. But, I mean, based off the past 2 years, last year wasn't, I mean, they didn't win the World Series. The previous year they had, so last year was a disappointment. this year coming in, they were expected to be one of the more dominant teams in the NL, and they came out awkward and didn't look to be themselves. And, you know, they've had problems with Javier Baez, who's had some injury woes. Chris Bryant's having them right now. No, they ran into kind of just the wear and tear of a baseball season. But it came a lot earlier than I think that people expected. And they kind of expected the Cubs to jump out to a pretty sizable lead, I think, in a weak league, being the NL, when we've talked about that, I don't even know how many times at this point. People expected them to be better, and they weren't.
100%.
But you look at them now, and, you know, baseball season is long for a reason. They've hit their stride, and by no means are they the Red Sox or the Astros or the Yankees.
No, they're not there yet.
But they're certainly in the conversation because they are the best team statistically and record-wise in the NL at this point.
They're looking like that team that's kind of going to get over that hump, because we've been talking, especially on the show before, that AL compared to NL, they don't really have that powerhouse. But
right.
I think the Cubs, they're coming along. And there's been, since we've at least had a show, there's been a few major acquisitions that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Cubs, they acquired Cole Hamels.
Sure.
So that pitching rotation automatically is improved.
The day of the walk-off, too.
Yeah,
I'm walking through Millennium Park, and I get a notification on my phone, Cubs acquire Cole Hamels. Like, they've been busy today. Big day for Cubs fans.
And then in the AL, the Yankees ended up landing Happ and Zach Britton. So two AL East pitchers changing teams.
And two solid pitchers.
Yeah, nothing flash. I mean, Britton's a two-time All-Star.
Yeah,
now.
Britton's a good guy.
He's flashy.
He's a good player.
J.A. Happ isn't, he's no DeGrom.
No.
But he's depth,
but
and that's
good,
what they need.
And they don't have pitching depth.
Exactly.
These two guys are kind of the guys that bolster
that. And
he
had his first start yesterday, 6 strong innings, 1 run, only 2 strikeouts, but he's in pinstripes for the first time, and any Yankee fan, they'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the strikeout thing is, you know, that's something you would like to kind of see, I guess, to add a little bit of flashiness to things. Like, you see a guy like Chris Sale hit 200 Ks a couple hours before Scherzer hit 200 Ks for the season, but that's just unheard of at that pace.
Yeah.
And those are numbers that you want to reach, but, I mean, screw that.
Yeah.
A line like that, one earned run.
So the Yankees did that, and the Red Sox as well acquired Nathan Eovaldi.
Who had a really nice day.
Yesterday. He performed well. So, I don't know. These are all teams that are already in the hunt, and they're just looking for more and more to just bolster their roster come postseason and make that historical run, run.
Yeah, and the thing is, you look at some of the teams that are making most of the deals, and the Astros actually just acquired Osuna from the Blue Jays, who he's suspended until early August, but he'll be coming back. They traded Ken Giles for him to give all the details.
That's a team I'm just glad they didn't get another freaking pitcher.
They don't need
it.
They don't need another Keuchel, another Verlander, McCullers. They just stop. Stop. You're done. You need to be held. It's whatever. But you see some of the teams that are making kind of the bigger moves, and they're the teams that are vying for spots late in the playoffs. It's not teams that are like, all right, how can we make this jump? I think the Brewers are the team that are on the fringe of that, and they traded for Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, that was big.
Which was a big move for them to kind of just toughen up that hitting rotation that kind of needed a little bit of life of late, just to kind of say, all right, we're really in this. It's not like we're just hanging around the top for a little bit and we're eventually going to fall off and kind of maybe be that last team to make it in, but we'll be there and we'll be around. They want to be there at the end, and Moustakas is a guy who can do that. He was highly coveted last year during the offseason. The Red Sox were linked to him before they were linked to J.D. Martinez. God only knows how long they were linked to J.D. Martinez, so that tells you something. But and the teams that are making the moves are the teams that everyone is assuming are going to be there at the end.
Yeah.
The Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox all made a move to improve something along the lines. Both
and
the Yankees and the Red Sox
did that. As we've been talking about
this,
fine. As we've been talking about this, it just kind of hit me. We're talking about all these big moves, and the last podcast we did was, I believe, the 20th, which was 2 Fridays ago. And as we were done, you and I left the studio. We're walking out. We check our phones,
and
the
Machado
trade finally went through.
Right.
So and that's just something we didn't touch on the show.
And what we
had
wrapped
been
up,
speculating.
I think we'd wrapped up the show with, like, is it going to go through?
Yeah.
There's injuries.
And next thing you know,
5 minutes later.
5 minutes later. Boom.
So,
but that, that
but
there's
that's
another
one of, that's probably the biggest thus far, I would say,
yeah.
Easily.
Biggest name, at least.
Biggest name, yeah. And he got added to contender. It's like seven contenders have made the biggest moves during this,
right,
this trade window.
I think we're setting ourselves up for a Dodgers-Cubs.
NLCS?
Yeah, NLCS. I see it happening. With the moves they both made,
I'd,
and how they're both playing. And that's, I mean, that's kind of cliche because it's the past two World Series teams that come out of the NL, but I don't know. Talk about a matchup.
But
that'd be something to look forward to.
I don't want to keep coming back to it and harping on it, but that's just with the state of the NL right now.
Can you imagine if we got Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox?
That'd be awesome.
Talk about franchises.
That'd be like, I don't even, what would be the equivalent of that?
You can't beat that. If you're talking MLB,
Celtics,
you can't beat those
Celtics,
four.
Celtics, Sixers, Spurs, Lakers? I don't even,
even. If we're talking old time,
I mean,
but
I
yeah,
guess.
Maybe.
Jeez. That's, fingers crossed.
October is going to be fun.
Fingers crossed.
I can tell you that much. Regardless of, I mean, our luck, none of those four teams will be in it, and we'll be sitting here scratching our heads.
World Series will be Braves, Mariners.
Oh,
what
God.
The hell happened there?
Don't jinx us. At least let one of our teams be in it.
I know. I hope so. You know who I've predicted all the way at this point?
You got?
The Yankees.
Taking it all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So do I. I'm not going to bet against them, so I think they'll lock that up.
If I'm speaking as an objective sports journalist in training, I would have to take the Yankees.
Okay.
But if I'm speaking...
We're going to have to
as
we're
a very
have to revisit,
objective Yankees hater.
We're going to have to revisit these podcasts later on, even when our internship's over. Hopefully we'll find a way to
see how
to
we
keep
did
these
when
running.
We made the Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a podcast at school next year. So
as
you'll,
will I,
you'll be
so,
a recurring guest, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, if we can call in, that
absolutely
will happen.
Absolutely.
So that's
100%. Be on the lookout for all that.
Yeah. That's just more for our viewers to
exactly
look forward to.
So
we're keeping
the
them
future
we're keep,
podcast.
Yeah, we're keeping them here.
Keep an eye on our
we
predictions.
Want them here.
Text in and what when
Facebook
we do the
live
thing,
Instagram
you don't
live.
Know when it's happening, but it will be on the lookout.
There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, MLB season is slowly but surely not coming to an end, but back half of the season, and now NFL finally starting up. So
it's coming.
Training camp finally began here in Rochester. We have the Buffalo Bills in reported at St. John Fisher last week.
Mm-hmm. You were there.
I was there
on Thursday,
yes, which was the first day, and pretty surreal experience.
Yeah, talk a little bit about it.
Because, I don't know, me and you have been talking about this in the kind of behind the scenes, and we grew up huge sports fans, as have probably a lot of our listeners, at least the listeners that we do have.
Yeah.
it's different, because growing up, we're the classic fanboy, oh, I want this autograph,
yeah.
I want this picture. Well, now that's all beside us. And
it's out the window.
Yeah, we're professionals now, at least striving to be professionals.
We have entire camp media credentials, man.
Yeah,
we
have full access media passes, so we're on the field, we're in the press conferences, we're taking pictures. I mean, myself, Thursday, I was in the studio with the guys, with Mike and Gene there, live from Fisher as they were doing their sports bar show. But right, I would say probably an hour prior to the show, I was there, and Brandon Bean had a joint press conference with McDermott, so
right.
I was right there.
And came on the show.
Yeah, I was right there for that press conference, and then Shady McCoy, who many people thought he was not even going to talk to the media, just because
a lot of people before the report came didn't even think he might show up.
Yeah.
They weren't sure.
We weren't sure. And then he comes out and has a press conference, and if you listen to it, you understand at least his sense was this is strictly football.
Yeah.
But obviously you have those reporters that ask the tough questions.
Go find it and watch it.
He turned
them
down.
You
completely
see the frustration just wash over his face. And understandably so. Maybe I don't look. It's what is he supposed to do? That's my question. I mean, he handled it the only way I think
innocent
he knew how.
Proven guilty, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how he's looking at it right now, and that's how a lot of the fans are looking at it right now, because they don't want to
give up on
the
their guy. Yeah. I mean,
right,
this is the best player on the roster by far.
Yeah, there's already question marks around this team, but If you lose McCoy as your running back,
yeah, add another one.
Talk about maybe three wins. Maybe.
We're already talking about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, he handled it the only way he could. But I mean, that's, you know, getting an up close and personal look at that, like we're gonna have, and
yeah,
like you had on Thursday.
That's what I was leading into. It's just, yeah, it's definitely it's a cool experience for us, mm-hmm, as young reporters, you could say, because this is what we're trying to do, what we're trying to become.
Exactly.
And we finally got the opportunity to, I mean, we're around professional athletes and a major professional franchise, so
yeah,
it's going to be cool for us. Other than that, I mean, we have, I would say the big storyline surrounding Bills camp, other than LeSean McCoy, is the QB competition. Right. So I don't really know where you stand as far as where you think this is going to turn out in the future with McCarron, Peterman, and Allen, and the battle they're going to have.
Right. I think the battle is definitely the thing that everybody's most excited about. Everyone that I've heard from and everyone that the guys in the studio, Mike and Gene, have heard from and talked to and everything, I think everybody saw at training camp and sees at training camp, is that everyone's eyes are on Josh Allen. I don't think a lot of people are taking the quarterback's battle as seriously as they're taking Josh Allen's hype. I think a lot of people are saying, all right, Josh Allen, rookie, he's exciting. We spent a lot to get him by giving away a lot. You know, we took a lot of risks because he's an unproven guy who had a shaky college career. He's kind of got a shaky background when it came to the tweets thing, but we're past that. Let's watch this guy. He's got a gun. He's been compared to Jim Kelly. He could become our guy. Let's go all in on Josh Allen. So kind of the intention has been focused a lot on him, whereas AJ McCarron and Nate Peterman, two guys who, you know, have NFL experience, while not great, they've kind of been swept under the rug. I don't know how much of a battle it is for fans. I think a lot of fans are set on, all right, we've seen AJ McCarron and it hasn't gone great. We've seen Nate Peterman and that went abhorrently wrong. Let's just go with Josh Allen. This is already kind of a lost season on paper. Give him a try, let him go, and, you know, what comes will come. For the Bills, I think the safest bet would be to start AJ McCarron, because you've seen him play for the Bengals multiple times in playoff scenarios as well, and he's been fine. This is not going to be a fun season. It's not. We don't have talent on this roster, or at least enough on the offensive side especially, to make any sort of discernible impact in the AFC or the league at large. We're not going to make the playoffs unless some sort of miracle happens. I'm hoping for it as a Bills fan. I'm not ashamed to say that. Sometimes I am. Not right now. It's just, you know, it's not going to be a fun season for a lot of reasons.
It'll be much more of a learning season.
Yes, it'll be a learning season, and it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to kind of watch everything behind the scenes more than anything else. I think watching and kind of paying attention to practices and kind of the quarterback battle and just how in flux this team really is when it comes to rotations. Nobody really knows what's happening with the quarterbacks. Nobody knows what's happening with Shady. Nobody knows what's happening at the wide receiver position because there's just so many guys filtering in and out. Everybody is saying, all right, Kelvin Benjamin's number one. I think that's obvious just based on who he is,
right,
and, you know, the stigma he had in Carolina. He was the Carolina Panthers' number one receiver until he got hurt. But beyond that, there's so many question marks of guys who have gone undrafted, who were the fourth wide receiver on another team.
There's not many other teams that... You look at the Bills' receiving core, they have their one, but other than that, they don't have a lock for their two,
no,
three, four, five.
It's just guys.
It's just...
You could throw any
no one
single
knows.
One of them out there at any given time, and likely... The likelihood of anyone being able to name the guy that's even going out there, let alone tell you which number receiver he may be,
right,
is extremely low. Like, diehard Bills fans will be like, all right, that's Rod Streeter. Or, okay, that's Robert Foster. Beyond that, and that's not necessarily important, but for Bills fans and just kind of the notoriety of this team and just the impact that they'll make, whether it be on the media or on the league, it's going to be minimal. And that's not necessarily a big story when it comes to kind of, I mean, I guess it is, how successful they'll be this year. I don't know. What's your take on the whole? I know I went kind of straight away a little bit from the quarterback question. But, I mean, the team is just a floating question mark.
We'll get back into this quarterback competition discussion right now because I'm going to bring up this list.
Yeah, please do.
We're going into our lists now.
All right.
All right. So this is from NFL.com, predicting when rookie QBs will start. So this is seven QBs that were drafted this year. And it's kind of just, I mean, this is written by Mark Sessler, who is Around the NFL writer. This is what his post was. So
right.
Predicting when rookie QBs will start, and he chose seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Baker Mayfield, number one. When do you think he starts? And what's it going to take?
Ooh, okay. Does he have the week?
He does.
Okay.
Yes.
Week 8.
Week 8?
That would be my prediction.
He's got week 12.
Okay.
Which is the week after their bye.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
That makes
to
a
me,
lot of sense.
But I'm one of those guys, I don't wish injury upon anyone, but no. I just think Tyrod will not stay healthy.
And it's possible. He hasn't had a bad injury past.
No.
But it's enough to the point where it's kind of something you think about.
I see something happening where Baker comes in within maybe the first 5 to 6 weeks. And then I think when he gets his chance, he's going to shine, and that might be the end of the Tyrod era.
Okay.
I'm on the
Tyrod era in Cleveland from training camp
the
until
six-week
the sixth week of the NFL season.
I'm high on Baker Mayfield, always have been. And
how could you not be?
Right. I just think he's one of those guys that when he gets his opportunity, he's like Watson.
I agree with you. I think what it'll take is kind of just a weird start to the season. That's really the only word that I can pick out. It'll be a weird start to the season for the Browns to the point where I think Hugh Jackson's like, all right, Tyrod, we appreciate what you've done. We're 3-5 and the schedule's not getting any easier. So thank you. But we know you're not our future. Baker Mayfield, the guy we spent a number one pick on, is our future.
And if they're
we're
going to
ride
five,
with him from that point
if they're
on.
They're 3-5.
You can still.
Yes, that's three wins. And
yeah.
That's.
But
three times or
three
times what they've had, what, the past
two seasons.
Two
they've
seasons.
Had their 1-31 in the past two seasons. So, you know, let's say they're even 2-6, which is obviously worse. Like, it's just gonna be, all right, Tyrod, thank you. You've been productive, you know. He doesn't turn the ball over, he doesn't really make mistakes, but he's conservative and he's not flashy and he's not exciting and he's not that great. He's fine, he's good, he's gonna do the job
average,
that you ask him to do. But he is a 5 out of 10 quarterback.
If they're three and five,
Tyrod out of a lineup of quarterbacks to be my starter.
No. If they're 3-5 and they're looking for that one thing that maybe if we go on a run we can squeeze into a wild card.
Maybe Baker Mayfield's that guy.
Baker Mayfield's the answer.
And who knows? The Browns have had just abysmal seasons the past 2 years, like we just said, and the fans know that better than anybody. Maybe at some point. What John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson decide is, all right, we've had a better year than we have in the past. It's not very hard to do that. And I think that it's obvious that that's going to happen. We see the talent that they have on this roster. If Josh Gordon comes back from whatever he's dealing with at the start of this training camp, Jarvis Landry is himself. They've got a running back core with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson that's really good. David Njoku, and I'm just talking about the offense at this point. The defense itself is also really good. At least on paper. We haven't seen it,
but it's good. And
this just
puts things into perspective about which quarterback does start.
Right.
Whoever does start, look at these weapons that they're going to
have
around them.
And that's why it might be a little later in the season that they say, all right, Baker, let's give you a shot. I think Baker Mayfield's going to start this year.
It's a matter of when.
But it's a matter of when. And I think it could be later because they could be fine. They could go 5-3. I'm doing the first 8 games because that would be my prediction. But they could be 5-3, and they're like, all right, we're fine right now. They could pull a Bills and say, all right, rookie quarterback. Now, Nate Peterman.
Don't throw five interceptions.
Nate Peterman was a 4th-round pick, so it's a little different. Right. But, I mean, they could say, all right, rookie, go give it a shot. Let's see how you do. And then we'll kind of see where we're at that point. Because the Bills weren't that great. Last year.
But
at
the
point
if the Cleveland
threw...
Browns are 5-3 at any point this season, then there's no shot they're changing anything within the team.
They could do that at any record. They could say, we're sticking with Tyrod, but let's see what Baker does.
Yeah, but if they're 5-3, they won't do a damn thing.
I don't think so.
No shot.
I don't think so. They shouldn't. It would be dumb.
Let's move on here. Sam Darnold,
yeah,
who is newly signed and mm-hmm. the last QB to sign. What do we think there? When will he start? This says, of the rookies, Darnold has the clearest path to be the week one starter.
Oh, yes. He absolutely does. There's so many question marks around Teddy Bridgewater's health.
But I disagree there because I think
he has the clearest path of all of the rookies. Well, who else would? Allen?
I think Allen.
Okay.
Just because Darnold has a proven veteran to beat out
I'd
in McCown.
Okay, I agree with you.
And I just think, I mean, yes, McCarron,
Darnold could start by like week three.
Yeah, McCarron is, I guess you could say he's a veteran, but
I don't know how proven
what
he is.
What has he done? Yeah. I mean, McCown had a pretty good year last year.
Fine year.
And that
with
defense,
the talent that he had?
Yeah, the defense around him too. The Jets' defense is not bad.
It's fine. It's
I could see Darnold
nothing
starting
to ride home
one.
About.
I could see it happening, but I think him beating out McCown is more unrealistic than Allen beating out a McCarron. So I don't know. He thinks he has him starting week one, so that's when he thinks he'll start. But
it's possible. But I think that to be kind of conservative, and that's what Todd Bowles has been his entire tenure as the New York Jets coach, he'd probably go with McCown week one. And then I think Darnold... How do I put this? I think Darnold is the most obvious choice because we know what we're going to get from him, or at least we think we do. Whereas with Josh Allen, nobody really knows.
Right.
He's been fine in training camp.
I think the Darnold and Rosen, they kind of have a similar
path.
Yeah, path or competition because
Bradford.
They both have they both have proven quarterbacks in front of them, but no one that's gonna bring their team to the promised land.
No, now Bradford, I would say is definitely better than what the Jets have going, just because I think the Cardinals all around are a better team and they have better weapons. At least in totality, because I think David Johnson's a weapon in himself. And Bradford, we saw what he did to at least start the season with Minnesota in the past couple
of
years.
I think when Rosen gets in, it'll be once Bradford's hurt.
Yeah.
When Darnold gets in, if he doesn't start week one, it'll be when McCown is kind of like, all right, this might be it for this guy. Like, he's just not playing well.
No.
His career's done.
It's winding down. He's an old quarterback,
in,
and then Darnold comes in
and
revitalizes things.
The next 12, 15 years, it's his team.
The future of the New York Jets is in the hands of Sam Darnold. Now it's just a matter of when it officially is placed there.
Okay, so we've talked Baker, Darnold, just touched on Rosen.
Yeah.
Now we'll touch on Josh Allen a little bit more now. He has him, he says, quote unquote, it's a total dart throw, but week 15 against the Lions would give the Bills a late season 3-week gander at their quarterback of tomorrow. So he he has Allen
not
playing until week 15. I don't see that happening.
He's the people's champ right now, but teams don't really take that into account. Not at least to a magnified extent, maybe a little bit, but only
this,
really when
I
you're
only
that
see
bad.
This happening if come preseason in a couple weeks,
he goes
out there and
he lights it up.
No, he doesn't light it up.
Oh, he doesn't light it up. Oh, you only see that happening.
Yeah, I only
happening
if he just goes out there and it's just an absolute mess. Then I could see, all right, he's not ready, but we'll let him develop all throughout the season. We'll see how our season's going. Maybe come week 15, they only have a handful of wins, and then, yes, throw him out there. Let's see what he can do.
The Bills actually did that 2 years ago with Cardale Jones.
Right.
They started him, or they had him run with the ones later in preseason, and he did not look good, and they said, okay, let's hold off. Then they threw him in the late season, I think probably the last game of the year, and
let's hope
threw two picks.
Let's just hope that Josh Allen's no Cardale Jones.
No, let's hope Josh Allen's a little bit more than five Cardale Joneses, or a Nate Peterman and his five interceptions, like we all know all too well. I don't know. The Bills... I don't want to talk about him anymore.
All right. This one, I think this
just
is...
just depressing.
I think this is the most interesting of any of them. Lamar Jackson.
By far the
I'm not going to tell you what he says yet. I want your opinion.
When does he start?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
At all?
I said it's a matter of fact, and now I'm second-guessing myself. No, I... If the Ravens were smart...
Stick to your gut, because he says week one of 2019.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You guys agree on that.
If the Ravens were smart, they'd play him. Just to see how things go. Because, again, all of these teams are teams that are kind of just not sure how we're going to do. Could be really bad, could be mediocre. Not going to be great. I think the Ravens have the highest ceiling of any of them. Maybe the Browns.
Yeah, and I mean,
or maybe
all,
the Cardinals
all recent
even.
Reports coming out of Baltimore are that Joe Flacco's having the best start to a training camp of his whole career.
Exactly.
So this might be something
and
that
And isn't
where,
this a contract year?
Yeah. And Flacco might be looking at this whole situation like, okay,
I need to...
they're kind of losing confidence in me. They went out there, traded back into the first round to take this guy.
Bottom line,
I need to show out.
Joe Flacco needs to be like, all right, screw all this. I want a Super Bowl here. I, at one point in time, for about 2 weeks, was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think Flacco
screw
is...
Screw this.
He's feeling the pressure.
I'm balling out. Yeah, I think so, too.
And he's feeling the hype around Lamar Jackson because it's kind of through the roof right now.
Which makes sense. He's won a Heisman. He's a really good quarterback. People got pissed that anyone was ever suggesting that he should be a wide receiver.
And he's everything Flacco's not.
Not, yes. He's literally everything that Joe Flacco has never and never will be.
So if they want change,
it's
literally polar opposites.
It's a change in play. It's a change in culture. And Baltimore could probably use that. But I think that Joe Flacco, that's why I would say he doesn't start this year. Because I think that the coaching staff has been
and one thing
loyal
that
to
surrounds,
Flacco till the cows come
right.
home.
And one thing that surrounds Lamar Jackson that I see as being maybe his biggest question mark is how smart he is come football. I don't know. A lot of the stuff he did in college was, it seemed like, on him for the most part, where he was willing to just take off and run.
Sure.
But
and I think it made sense.
Think
he had
needs,
to be that
I
kind of playmaker.
I think he needs time
though.
To develop his mind into what it's like to be an NFL quarterback, and he just needs to hit the books, learn the playbook like the back of his hand. I just don't think he's going to be ready yet, but I agree in the sense that I think this is Flacco's team and absolutely his job to lose at this point.
100%. And I'd be surprised if Lamar Jackson gets playing time this year.
Right, as would I, unless pending an injury.
Yeah,
but
if something happens, then throw him in there because you have to.
Got RG3, too. So who knows what happens there.
Yeah, dear God.
The last two, these will be quick because I don't think RG3. Anything's going to happen here. Mason Rudolph of the Steelers and Kyle Aletta of the Giants.
No.
I mean,
Eli Manning's
rookies.
Playing the whole year, and yeah. Big Ben's playing the whole year, barring an injury.
Neither of them will see any.
And
time.
I'm assuming Davis Webb.
Yeah, he's the backup anyway.
We'll still be getting the minutes.
So, unless Ben McAdoo comes back and
brings, says, Gino, all right,
brings
hey,
Gino back
Gino.
With him. Flying from LA. Freaking bomb.
Be like a bomb. It'd be like on The Bachelor when they're like, all right, this challenge today, we've got a special guest. And they bring out like Gronk.
Oh my God.
Ben McAdoo gets off the plane, and he's standing in front of all of his players. I'm back, and I've brought a guest. Hey, Gino! Gino waddles off the plane with a broken nose. And
If that happens, that bridge we walk across, I'm going to walk over here.
Dive off.
Catch me jumping off that, okay? Because that's what's going to happen. If Ben McAdoo's name is ever again affiliated with the New York Giants...
I'm going to go out on a really far limb here, like really far. I think you're safe.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I hope
you're right.
For your sake, and I think the sake of,
everyone's
well, actually,
safe.
No. I'm just going to say for Giants fans' sakes, because that would be a hell of a story, and I would love to talk about it. But for your sake, I think you're okay.
I won't be here to talk about it.
No,
happens,
no.
So. Oh, God. Now I got to go home and just ponder the fact of that. Ever happening again.
No, don't do that.
Do
you
want to
have a good night?
I'm getting out of here. They're kicking us out.
Okay, well, don't. You can't think about that.
Okay.
I'm not going to leave this studio. Okay.
I won't.
All right, we can go.
It's not happening.
All right.
Never again will it happen. He won't even be a coach in the NFL. Ever again.
Ooh.
There's a bold prediction right
Ooh.
There. It's not even bold. That guy was a bum. Absolute bum.
Mike Francesa has been on record of saying... Last year, he slicked his hair back, and he was dumber than a brick.
Oh, my God.
And he's damn right, because...
Let's get out of here.
All right.
They're kicking us out.
You seem upset now.
I am. I hate that. I strongly dislike Ben McAdoo.
Just press the stop record.
With a passion.
And get out of here before you break something.
All right. We'll be back on Wednesday, right?
I assume so.
Wednesday or Thursday. Our schedules change a little bit now that Bills are around, but...
The camp thing is kind of throws everything
right
into a loop, but we'll figure
regardless,
it out.
Regardless, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
We don't know when, but...
We don't know a lot of things.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon, and maybe we'll be live streaming.
Okay.
We'll discuss.
We'll leave them at that. For Will B. Arnar, I'm Vinny Aceto. Have a good one.
Have a good one.